First off, long time no see. How have you been? Well?
I've been great, yes. Good morning.
You know, it's always good.
How are you doing?
I mean, you know, it's Monday, so I'm, you know, just mildly freaked out about tomorrow. Got a lot to do when it comes to the elections. But, you know, here's the thing with you. Since the day you went in the office, you've been busy.
Exactly. It's all I know, Tom.
Right? You know, and what's interesting is, you know, and I watch what we're doing here when it comes to money, and I look at your office with really kind of a sense of wonder. You know, when you've got, you know, $100 worth of bills to pay when you got $20.
Oh, gosh, I wish it were just $100 and $20 differential, right?
Right.
So, no, you're talking like, you know, $100,000 worth of bills and $20.
It's interesting because just about 3 years ago, I was reading a history book involving the Borgias, you know, in Rome and the Vatican and all this, and how they brought this revolutionary new idea of double bookkeeping. And so I started doing that, and I started finding money that I was going, and where's this money going? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing a similar idea with the idea of people offshoring payroll in one department to another department. It's apparently been done for years in the state of Illinois, decades.
Yes. I mean, every governor, as far back as we can tell, and it doesn't matter what party they're in. There's both Democrats have been really bad about this, Republicans as well. And basically, it's hiding the extent of what their actual budget is from the public. I mean, the money's still being taken out for the governor's employees. This is an issue that happens specifically with the governor of the state of Illinois, and again, like I said, both Dems and Republicans. But it needs to stop, right? We got to get rid of this.
You know, what's interesting is because let's look at it from one standpoint. This was done, I can remember once, involving somebody on a staff, but they were paid for by the Department of Transportation. Well, you know, that money is actually meant for road repairs and tax people. Gasoline is taxed for that, and in a way, there's another kind of dishonesty. If that money is supposed to be in the agriculture department, then it should be bloody well used for agriculture.
Totally, exactly. And there's also this concept of separation of powers, right? I mean, when you learn about this in civics class, the separation of powers is an important protection to have in place. And so the General Assembly, your state reps and your state senators, their job by the Constitution is to appropriate funds for each different state agency. And so if state agency, let's say Department of Transportation, requests, you know, $2 billion in their budget, then they have to make the case to the General Assembly as to why they need every one of those dollars. So then if the General Assembly approves their appropriation or sets their appropriation at X amount, it's for that specific purpose. It's not meant to take money after the budget has already been passed out of that function of transportation to pay for an employee that has absolutely nothing to do with the Department of Transportation, right? And that's essentially what's been happening for many years. Both, like I said, Democrats and Republicans are guilty of this. And just this year alone, I mean, Governor Rauner's budget, which is the budget that we're talking about right now, it requested $4.9 million for their payroll for 44 employees. When in essence, we know for a fact that the governor has 102 employees, 58 of them. That means more clearing is his payroll. 58 of them are offshored, essentially being paid out of different state agencies, which means that we're taking money away from public safety, from human services, you know, from all kinds of very important initiatives that require those dollars.
When you go through the budget and in the time you've been in the office, how often do you scratch your head and go, wait a second? I mean, how often does that happen to you? I get the idea that it happens more than you're more comfortable with.
Yeah, Tom, pretty much every day. I mean, this is why we're trying to change that, right? And our Debt Transparency Act, which now requires monthly reporting from the state agencies to the Office of Comptroller, is such a great piece of, of reform when it comes to transparency. And everyone is very happy that we have this in place. I mean, the state legislators, for the first time in their history, will be able to work on this year's budget with numbers that are up to date as of the month before. That's never been the case. The numbers they were working off of before were almost a year old. They were June 30th numbers, and they're crafting budgets at the end of May. So we've taken some very important steps in shining light on the state's finances, because I believe that when you have greater transparency, that naturally breeds greater accountability. And taxpayers deserve to know how their money's being spent.
I mean, when it comes to this, because how can you find your way out of a financial situation if you don't know what it is? And we can say, oh, it's a lot of money, all right? I mean, you can argue about pension debt and all this, depending on, whether there's a liability there. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. But that's part of the problem, isn't it? I mean, you just referenced the legislators having the current numbers, and you'd think, because here's the thing. I'm sorry, I'm a little broken here, Susanna, that people have been asking the government to act like business. Now, most people are smart enough to know government isn't business. But I think in this respect, that's what they're saying. They want to see the government be more like business. And I think this category is what we're talking about when they say that.
Yeah, about how we handle our financials, right? I mean, there's no reason why people at home look at their budgets, at their checkbook, right, which is how they're spending their money. And they would only look at them once a year. That's essentially what the state of Illinois was doing. I mean, no household operates that way, much less any business worth its, salt. So it's weight in salt. So this is crazy. It's literally crazy that the state of Illinois has been operating this way. It's no wonder that our state's finances have been in the shambles that they've been in. But I have this opportunity as your controller to try to pull the curtain back on these finances, look at the books, open them up, and start to put the necessary steps in place to get our state on better fiscal footing. Offshoring, which is what we initially started talking about, it needs to stop. It really is just such a simple concept. If the governor has employees, they should be listed in his budget and not hidden in other state agency budgets. And again, I'm not picking on our governor. This is something that will apply to the next governor if the next governor happens to be a Democrat, right? So it doesn't matter to me if the governor's a Democrat or a Republican. They shouldn't be hiding the extent of their payroll from the people of the state of Illinois. And moving forward, once we get this initiative in place, the simplest of bills, which is really be truthful about your budgeting. It's really truth in hiring, truth in budgeting. It's an accounting principle, which is its most basic one, which is just be honest about your finances.
There's one part that's kind of bothered me, and I'm hoping you can help me with this. When we borrow the money for the backlog of bills, so it comes off the column where it says backlog of bills, but where does it go from that column? Because I keep thinking that's part of
it. It goes to our debt service payments.
Right.
So it's not just like we get this money and we don't have to pay it back, right? The difference here, though, so follow me on this because this is important for people to understand. We borrowed we sold $6 billion worth of bonds in order to be able to pay down more than $6 billion worth of bills that were part of that backlog. We turned that $6 billion into $8.8 billion. And the reason we did that is because we were able to leverage federal dollars that were matches to our state dollars. So essentially, we got free money, right? So we did the $6 billion and then paid down almost $9 billion of the bill backlog. But we then now have to, because we sold those bonds, pay debt service on those bonds. The great thing about this, though, is that had we not done that, we would have been on the hook for an additional $6 to $8 billion in late payment interest penalties because of that $6 billion generating 12% interest. By refinancing this, essentially, by saying, well, we'll sell you $6 billion worth of bonds, instead of paying a 12% interest that we were on the hook for at that time, we were able to refinance at a 3.5% rate. So essentially, let's say this. It's like if you refinance your home mortgage, you're still paying a mortgage payment, but now it's less of a mortgage payment than you were before when you had the original high interest bearing payment. Does that make sense?
Right. And so does that mean our bill backlog is $6 billion or $6 billion plus? Where are we on that spectrum?
Yeah, so now our bill backlog is about, today, I haven't checked it this morning, but it's probably around 8.8 or 8.9. So it's been fluctuating anywhere between 8.2 and, 9.8 because remember, when we brought that bill backlog down, we still have other bills coming in, right?
Right.
So essentially, we have brought it down to the slowest point of about 8.2. And then depending on if I get a big stack of health care bills, it'll kick it back up a notch until I'm able to get some of that money out. So it'll ebb and flow every day, but it should not go up, should not go beyond, probably $9.8 or $10 billion, unless, of course, if we go into another budget stalemate, which I hope to God is not the case, because Illinois just can't afford to do that. We need to have a budget.
I've had people in Springfield tell me that that's a possibility, too. You too?
They're telling you that it is a possibility?
Yeah, I have.
I certainly hope so. We need one.
All right. So, you know, the backlog of bills is just one. I mean, how do you, with the more recent tax increase, these $6 billion in bonds, which we leverage with federal dollars, 8.8, you called it free money, but it comes from somewhere, taxpayers, because we're a donor state
this
in Illinois. I want to see that money
come back
to Illinois.
But what I'm saying is it's not coming out of your state.
Right. But
Is money that would be negligent of us to not try to – leverage.
Of course, because Illinois, is one of the greater contributors to the federal coffers. The last time I remember looking, we were either fifth or sixth, and yet we were like 47th or 48th in seeing tax dollars returned to the state that donated it.
Right.
So, yeah, I want donated it. It was confiscated. $8.8 billion. I want the other $2 billion.
So,
I want the state to come back.
Our backlog today is 9.29, so basically 9.3, but that just probably means we got a whole bunch of health care bills in. And we still have to release some education dollars. So once we do that, it'll pop back down in the eighth.
You look that up.
So my point is it goes anywhere between 8 to a little bit under 10.
Do you look that up while we were on the air, $9.29 billion as of today?
I sure did. You know why? Because I make it the first thing that you see on our website. If you go to IllinoisController.gov, you'll be able to read the debt transparency reports from the Act, right? We've already have three out. You'll be able to see what our updated bill backlog is. We want to be the most transparent office in the country right now, certainly in the state of Illinois. But like I said, I'm not just saying that I believe taxpayers should know how their money's being spent. We're trying to show them. And the same thing that we would provide to the media, that I would provide to the legislators, those are the exact same reports that we're providing to the public if they just go to our website. And on top of that, they don't even have to search for them. It'll smack them right in the face when they go to the homepage because... We don't want to be like the Da Vinci Code that you have to go through all these kinds of extra steps to find the information that you should have access to right away. We're making it easy for you to find and digest it.
I'm going to go put that to use. Before I let you go, I got a personal question for you.
Sure.
I think it's personal because it is with me. I got a letter from somebody I buy services from, and they said, you're supposed to send some equipment back to us. You didn't, so we're going to charge you $198. Well, I'm working on that, right? But it makes me nervous, upset, that I'm like, wait a second, I thought this was taken care of. I thought, I like to run a clean ship, everybody's paid and everybody's happy. And with you, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. How do you deal with that personally, especially with a bill that's let's just take $9.29 billion backlog. How does that make you feel when you go, I got to pay this. I know where it's coming from. How's this affect you personally?
Well, of course, it does affect me personally, and that's why you always hear me getting so hot, right? People are like, why is she so hot-headed? She's so fired up, She's so maybe upset at the governor or whatever it may be. It's because I really take this stuff personally. I care about the damage that has been done to this state, and I want to do whatever I can to help fix it. And so when I see that, the government, whether it's the governor or anybody else, who it may be, is not taking the steps necessary to really shore up our finances or support me on things like, for example, the Debt Transparency Act or right now the Truth in Hiring Bill, which, hopefully will also get an overwhelming level of support in the House and Senate. This is the kind of thing that gets me fired up because I think, how could you not support these things? It is really, truly about improving our state's finances. And when we improve our state's finances, that means less people on the verge of closing their business. Because, as you know, when a business closes, it's not just a business, the bricks and mortar. It's families that are being impacted. It's people losing their jobs. It's less money coming into the state's revenue base, which means cutting back on programs that are important to people or disinvesting in areas that we should be investing more in. So, yeah, I take it very seriously, which is why I ran for this office and which is why I'm very honored to be in it. It's my job to take on that level of stress, so that other people can go about their lives thinking everything's okay. It's not okay to the people who have been impacted, and things aren't going to be okay with me until those people are feeling some relief.
Comptroller Susana Mendoza, I really appreciate your time too, Susana.
Hey, thanks so much, Tom, and just want to say hello and sending hugs to everybody out your way, okay?
All right, and let's not forget, go out and vote tomorrow. All right, polls open at 6. Exercise your franchise. Go out there and vote. Turnout is important.
I already voted. I voted early. I'm one of those early voters.
I'm looking forward to it. We were discussing it last night, you know. Making sure we knew where the new polling place was because we moved, and just get out there and do that. And just because there's a little bit of chance of rain in the morning, there's no reason not to be able to get out there and vote.